Blog Talk Radio.
There is a legend of two men out on the sports prairie. Two lonesome men that can wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. It is the legend of El Presidente and his faithful sidekick, $2 Bill Josh. It is the legend of the balance wrap-up, and that legend continues today.
All right, boys and girls, welcome to the balance slash Gary Snyder Show. We're going to be joining them here in a very short period of time.
7226. Todd's waiting for you, and you'll get a free estimate. You can also visit them at layman4covering.com. You can also visit their newly expanded store. You got to check them out. 1940 Aetna Avenue, right there in Huntington, the place to go for all of your carpet and flooring needs. All right, hopefully. This is Tom Marquis, and he's got things worked out on the other end. Tom, are you there?
I am here. We have joined the Balance Radio Network coast to coast. So glad that you could join us. And it just invariably, whenever everything is going perfect, Murphy's Law says that some sort of technical difficulty is going to happen. But we're good, and we're on the air now. So all is good. Waiting to reconnect with Phil Wilson. I know he was with us, and then we lost him. And so I'm getting him back as we speak. But what a great interview that was with Rich Nye, Gary.
You know, I've had small talk with Rich before when I've seen him at some of the sporting events that I attend, and he attends, and he probably couldn't pick me out of a crowd. But, great interview. We'll be following him on Twitter. Hopefully I can get him to follow back. That's one of my things that I like to do is Twitter. So, great interview by Rich, and you can tell that this is a personal loss for him.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And as it is with a lot of people here in the local media in Indianapolis, and you know, and I was just discussing it with my wife and other people yesterday. It was just an eerie reminder of the whole thing with Dale Earnhardt, and I've covered IndyCar and been on that circuit most of the summer long, and you know, from Milwaukee to Iowa to Ohio to, you know, various different races, and they are a very, very tight community, and it is, I guess, with the modern technology and social media, and just, you know, we have so much more access to the drivers than what we used to. And it just is, you know, we get to know them, we have lunch with them, we just really get to know them on a personal basis. And, you know, as I was watching all of this unfold yesterday, I actually got a text right after the Colts game from our co-host, $2 Bill Josh, which I don't know if he's going to be able to join us today, but it was telling me about that there was a wreck. And to be quite frankly, I think we get callous a lot of times and think that, you know, okay, it's nothing to be worried about. But then, you know, my phone started burning up pretty quickly, and I began to watch it unfold. And, you know, they don't stop a race for 2 hours, and they don't call an emergency driver's meeting where the wives and the media is not allowed in that media for no reason at all. And you said it yesterday here on the Balance Radio Network when we went live with the news. That yellow sheet can only mean one thing, and it was just an awful, awful, awful tragedy. We are waiting to still connect with Phil Wilson.
Well, let me tell you this. You know, I was watching the race on the TV coverage, and what was really eerie about it looking back is, you know, the coverage that they had, they were live in Dan Weldon's on-car camera. You know, talking about how he was kind of hanging back, staying out of the dirty air. And then all of a sudden, out of the camera, you see the smoke start to raise. And they automatically leave his in-car camera and go to a wider shot of the track. And about that time, Will Power is getting airborne. Parts are flying. And then just out of the blue, when you thought it was over, here comes Weldon, and you know, I'd be interested to see if there was some kind of technical issue with his car, because it didn't look like he slowed down at all. And when he hit Paul Tracy and got airborne and hit that fence, My wife is not an IndyCar fan. And I looked at her and I said, someone is going to end up dead out of this one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just saying it, not actually meaning it. But, you know, how prophetic those words were 2 hours later.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it's tragic when this happens to any driver. So I'm certainly not trying to minimize if it happened to another driver. But the thing is that it happening to Dan Weldon, and as I mentioned in our interview with Rich Nye, he always made himself very, very, very available. And, you know, it was someone that I knew personally and on a personal level, not near as well as Rich and Dave Calabro know them very, very well. But I many, many times, and one of my fond things was we were walking down pit row, and I said, "Hey, Dan, can I get a quick few minutes with you?" He says, "You sure can, but you know I've got to go pee, so you're going to have to follow me." And I said, "Well, I think I could just wait on you." He said, "No, just follow me to the bathroom. We'll walk along the way." And just, as Rich was saying, that cheesy smile was just always, and his British humor and accent was just always with him. And you know, he was just the ins and outs that he's had in racing throughout his career. And you know, when was the last time somebody won the Indianapolis 500 and said, "Well, I'm going to be without a job tomorrow." You know, and so that's kind of one of those situations. I think now we also are joined. Is this Josh?
Yeah, this is Josh. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Josh.
While you get Josh on the line, let me take my break here, and we'll be
okay.
Back here in just a second to talk with Josh and hopefully Phil B. Wilson before we go to break. Schaefer's Indiana Turf. They're in Fort Wayne.
All right, Josh, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'll be here until 6 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Well, so glad that you could join us. I know that there was some thoughts there that maybe you wouldn't be able to join us. So what I'm going to do is get Phil Wilson on the phone, and what I want you to do is just talk a little bit to our listeners for about 2 or 3 minutes here about your experiences with Dan Weldon in IndyCar.
Well, as everybody who's been listening to our show knows, me and Tom got to cover IndyCar extensively this summer, Tom a little bit more than I did. My earliest memory of Dan Weldon will be 2005 when he won the Indianapolis 500. A race that Danica Patrick led as a rookie for 19 laps. They battled it out all day. And he ended up winning the 2005 Indy 500. He won 6 more races that year, and he won the season championship. Came back the next year and he won 3 or 4 more races. And then he slowed down a little bit and then he started picking it up a little bit more. But my first actual chance to meet Dan Weldon probably would have been, I want to say, pole day this year at Indianapolis in the garage area, gasoline alleys, it's called at IMS. I didn't know who it was at first. He didn't walk around the garage area with his fire suit on. He had this long brownish blonde hair, kind of looked like a surfer if you didn't know who he was. And I just see this guy walking up and down the garage, he's signing autographs to everybody, he's taking pictures of everybody. Everybody's super excited to see him, taking photos of him. At first, I thought he was just a guest of one of the race car drivers because, you know, he had the California boy look about him, even though he was from England. And so I remember we walked up, Tom walked up to him, I thought, man, this isn't nobody. Tom's just wasting his time getting this interview, and it turned out to be Dan Weldon. And Weldon's a pretty cool cat, you know. He must have sat there and talked to us for like 10 or 15 minutes. And it was one of the few interviews that me and Tom have ever conducted. It was with the race car driver, but it wasn't about racing so much as it was about his love for Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I'm not sure if Tom remembers that interview, but for me, I remember it being the one time we conducted an interview with the driver. And I don't think we talked about the action on the track at all. And then he just continued to sign pictures and autographs and take photos and do all that stuff, even long after all the other drivers had called it a day. That's the Dan Weldon that I got a chance to know.
Well, absolutely, and Dan was a class act, and I think we are joined now with Phil Wilson of IndyStar. Hi, is this Phil?
Yeah, Philip B. Wilson.
Hey, Philip B. Wilson. We're waiting as we speak here. We're waiting to join and sync up with the Gary Snyder Show. We were having some technical difficulties. You know the beauty of satellite and Skype, and when you try to collide the two worlds, sometimes it just doesn't happen. So what we're going to do, guys, we're going to go to break, and when we get back, we'll be back joined with the Gary Snyder Show and Philip B. Wilson.
Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
WBAT, joined by the Balance Radio Network. The host of The Balance, Tom Marquis, will be with them here in just 1 second. But first, look outside. It's going to get kind of cool, and it's only going to get worse. Winter is rapidly approaching, and time is running out to get that much-needed work done on your home. Got a leaky roof or storm damage? Call Dominion Home Builders now, 317-523-8414. Dominion Home Builders is an honest, top-notch general contractor serving central Indiana, east central, and north central Indiana. Got to throw those in there. They go everywhere. Call them today, 317-523-8414. Again, that is 317-523-8414 or online at dhbindiana.com. Dominion Home Builders, structurally sound, distinguished by excellence. And all you really need to remember, if you can't remember all that, is GaryLSnyder.com. You'll see their nice, pretty ad. Click on it. Takes you right there. You'll find out more than you ever cared to know about Dominion Home Builders. All right. We are now joined by Tom Marquis, Phil B. Wilson of the Indianapolis Star, and $2 Bill Josh of The Balance. Welcome, my friend.
We are here. Thanks so much for joining us, Phil. Phil, real quickly, we just want to thank you for taking the opportunity to talk with us. And this is just such a tragedy. We were just talking with Rich Nye from WTHR Channel 13 and just talking about what a great guy Dan Weldon was. I was just wondering if you could just kind of share a little bit about your memories about Dan, anything that you'd like to share.
Yeah, Dan was the reason, or at least another reason, to love the Indianapolis 500 and that race. And he personified that. He, for lack of a more clever way to put it, he got it. He understood it. And he exuded that in all his walks when he visited. Like every year he was energized to be there. And he reminded me of why I was excited every year to be there. And I've covered 17 Indy 500s, and I've known lots of drivers. And this hit me closer to home because I don't think I knew a driver better guy. I knew others that did. I'd interviewed them, but I didn't know them. You know, to be in a group interview with Dale Earnhardt doesn't mean you know him. I mean, Dan and I had one-on-ones every year for the last 5-6 years, and you know, he always made time for me. So you feel like you lost a friend. You feel like you lost someone who made everyone around him feel special. If he wasn't chewing on him, but, you know, before he got married, he was a wild and crazy guy, and he could really get himself fired up and come after you and be a little off the wall or unpredictable. But I'm going to miss him terribly, and I know that sentiment goes double for the rest of the racing world.
Now, Phil, I know one of my fondest memories of Dan Weldon was a couple years ago when I had a chance to sit down and interview him for about 10 minutes, and then saw him a little bit later on walking through the pits, and I said, "Hi, Dan," and he stops and he looks at me, he goes, "Hi, Gary," and points at me, and I go, "I'm impressed. You remember my name?" He goes, "No, it's on your." On your credentials. One of my better memories.
That's pretty funny.
Well, I know, Josh, I don't know if you've got any questions for Phil, but joining us also is our co-host of The Balance, Mr. $2 Bill, Josh. Josh, you got anything for Phil?
From what I had gathered, Phil, you and Dan had, now correct me if I'm wrong, if I read the story wrong, you and Dan had more of a relationship than just media personnel. And race car driver, if I read the story right, you guys are almost like, I want to say best friends, but really good friends even outside of the Motor Speedway.
You know, I can't say that I hung out with him. That would be probably a misrepresentation. There's that little, I don't know what's little. There's a chasm. There's that little divider there between athlete and rider. I can't remember ever doing anything with him personally, but that's just it. I mean, every interview we had was personal. Every time we joked or talked about something, it was personal, and Dan was real. And you know, when I'm digging through these quotes last night, you know, after the Colts-Bengals game and trying to help my colleague Bob Kravitz write a column on a man that he didn't know very well, you know, these words of Dan are jumping out at me, and I'm remembering when he said them, and I'm remembering the context in which I asked him a question, got the answer, and, you know, guys, people mail it in life every day. Athletes mail it in. They think, well, I did okay today. Dan didn't do that, to my knowledge. He always gave you everything he had. And I admired that tremendously because, come on, there's some days you just don't have it. You're tired or you're like, oh, man, do I have to do this? Or, oh, I'm not up to this. And with each passing year, I got more and more of a sense that he really, really appreciated all of it. And you know, this last year in May, it was raining, and he came down to the motor coach, talked to me. I offered to go to him. No. He come to me. And you know, he was bored off his butt, and we BS for 10 minutes, and then we talked on the record with the mic rolling for 25. And it was like, even though it was only probably the only month out of the year that he and I ever talked, it was like old friends getting together, and it went beyond racing. I mean, I'll miss him as a race car driver, but. I, you know, I've been crying today because I'm going to miss the guy as a human being, as a person, as someone that reminded me of the joy in life. And that's probably been hovering over my head and what I've been thinking about all day today.
Well, and Phil, we really appreciate you joining us, and you certainly echo what I know personally as well, hanging out there in the media center. And as we know, and this isn't the time to mention names, but many drivers just brush off the media, whether it be broadcast media or print media. And in many occasions, they say, get another time, talk to my PR person. But Dan was never that way. Dan was always, okay, I'll give you 5 minutes, or I'll give you 10 minutes, or walk with me as we talk. And he was very, very candid in his interviews, and he never really had to he was a great interview at any time. No matter what kind of race was going on, you knew that you could always get the truth from him. And I think that's why he excelled so well on Versus. What do you think about Dan as just as a separation of a type of athlete that he was as compared to other drivers?
You mean just in terms of his skill?
Well, his skill, but just his personality, just the way that
I mean, compare him to other drivers. I mean, first and foremost, Dan treated the Indianapolis 500 like it was the most important race in the world, the only break that really mattered. And that's probably why I liked him first and foremost, because he got that. And his effort and results at the Speedway reflected that. He won twice, as everybody knows, last year and in 2005. But he also finished second twice. He finished third once. He finished fourth once. As Donald Davidson, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway historian, told me today, Dan had the Speedway figured out. So he knew how to be smart. He knew how to avoid taking too many risks to this track. He knew how this was so much more of a calculated driver's race. There's no secret to why Roger Penske's won as many times. They were smarter than everybody else so many times. Yeah, they may have better cars sometimes, but they really were dialed in and knew how to handle it and not to, you know, jump the gun and be ready for that last pit stop and then let it all hang out. Dan always seemed to give himself a chance, and ironically, you know, he hung in there and hung in there, gave himself a chance, and wins a second time when, you know, he probably thought when that last lap started in May that he, you know, well, I'll finish second again. This is going to suck. And lo and behold, Jerry Hildebrand, which I wouldn't wish this on anybody, and kid drove a great race, the rookie for Panther, but he crashes in turn four, Dan wins. What beyond that, and I know that's what you're getting at, beyond the result, it's the personality, the time and the willingness to spend with anybody and everybody, just a genuine appreciation for the moment and the people that were there, that is what stands out as much as the result. Now, you probably didn't get a chance to know that about Dan unless he had the result first. But I think they go hand in hand with him. And there are a lot of drivers that we can say are friendly and cordial with the media. But gosh darn it, Dan would tell you what he thought. And he was ticked off. He didn't spare it there either. I mean, I reading through some of these notes in recent years, there's some good, nice, strong quotes ripping certain guys for blocking him and ripping other things and being quite candid. And I loved Dan when he was angry, too. I loved it when he was joking around. And there were some great stories about how the old Andretti team with him and Kanaan and Herta and Frank Giddy would really get underneath each other's skin. Some hilarious stories. Some that are not fit to print, say on radio or anything. I mean, so he was a good guy with a great sense of humor. And then, of course, at the end, a family man, which gave him more of a base with Susie and two young boys. But still, he still had that style and he still had that spirit. He still had spunk, guys. And the brash Brit, as I guess I'll think I'll remember him.
Phil, we want to thank you for joining us and sharing your thoughts with us about Dan Weldon. Real quick, where can people find your work at the Star?
Well, we got a story tomorrow on the reaction to Dan's death, and you can check out indystar.com, IndyStar.com. My Twitter address is pwilson24, pwilson24, and thank you very much, guys, for having me.
Thanks a lot, Phil, and we'll talk to you again soon. All right, you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show here on 1400 WBAT.
bringing local news to Marion, Fullerton.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
All right, welcome back to The Balance, and we're waiting to rejoin the Gary Snyder Show, and when we rejoin him, we're going to have with us on the air Mr. Tim Spillman, Silver Crown Chaplain. Used to be a chaplain for, well, as he calls him, Danny, and so we certainly are interested to hear his side of the story, and it's a side of the story of racing that a lot of people don't know, and American Racing Ministries just has a fantastic organization, and so we will be joining the Gary Snyder Show here in about 30 seconds, and when we get back from the when we join them, we'll have Tim Spillman of American Racing Ministries.
Show on 1400 WBAT. We are joined we are joined by Tom Marquis, host of The Balance and co-host of The Gary Snyder Show. $2 bill, Josh, and I believe we have Tim Spillman now. Is that correct, Tom?
We do. Tim's joining us here at The Balance Studios in Indianapolis and on the Balance Radio Network. Jim, so glad
Tom, before we get started, let me read this ad real quick so we can pay some bills. Freightco, they are a leading freight company in Northeast Indiana, and they are growing, and they want you. That's right. Freightco is looking for owner-operators who want miles and home time. If this sounds like you, then listen up. Freightco offers a 92-cent CPM plus. That's an addition, too, for some of you out there. FSC on all dispatches. Freightco drivers average 2,500 plus miles a week and are home on weekends. Freightco offers consistent lanes with many being drop and hook. So if you are looking for a company that puts customers and employees first, or you just want more information on what Freightco has to offer, then give Ray a call. Don't do it tonight. He's probably eating dinner. You can do it tomorrow. 866-397-2581. You can visit them on the web at freightco.org. Freightco, they are a freight moving company. All right, Tom, go ahead and introduce our next guest.
Well, it is a pleasure to introduce Tim Spillman here on the Balance Radio Network of American Racing Ministries. Tim is just a fantastic guy and a guy I consider a very, very good friend. Tim, so glad that you could join us today.
Well, it's truly an honor to be here. Kind of a sad day after the situation yesterday. But you called me the other night and asked me if I could be here today, and it's always an honor to be with you guys.
Thank you very much. And I know that this is a rough time for you personally. I know that I've known Dan for a long time. Tell us a little bit about how you know Dan and what it is that you do. Obviously, you have that job that is a part of racing that us as media, we get to follow, and it has its fun points. But when you become involved, it's not always the most fun time to be involved.
Well, there are times that we have a bad situation, but most of the time it's good. And, you know, this does come with the occupation a lot of the drivers and crews and teams are involved in. But 90% of the time it's good. Maybe you might even go up to 95%. But every now and then we have a struggle as we had yesterday. I knew Dan. I referred to him. I called him Danny. Met Danny when I was the chaplain with the Toyota Atlantic side of CART. And had almost 2.5 years with him, and I would always have an opportunity. He'd come up, we'd talk to each other, and I'd get an opportunity to pray with him before he got in a race car, and always wished him well. And one thing I honored about him the most, he always had a smile on his face, always had a kind word to say, and never was too busy to stop and talk to you. As years passed and he moved on into IndyCar and that, he would see me passing through the pit lane or in the garage area. And even if he was talking to the media or television interview or whatever, he would motion me to come over. And he always wanted to say hi and always had a kind word.
Well, let me ask you, Tim, and again, welcome to my portion of the show too, Tim. You know, as being a chaplain in some of these race car series, obviously, is this the toughest part of your job right now, the day or two after something like this happens?
Well, yes, because, you know, it's a tremendous shock to the entire racing fraternity. I mean, they all realize that the danger of the sport that they're involved in, but they kind of try to hide that and put that on the back burner. We hate to face that. But every now and then it does happen, and that is the dark side of the sport that we're involved in.
All right, and I know we're joined with us from our co-host, and you know him, Mr. $2 Bill, Josh Elmore. Josh, do you have anything for Tim?
Well, Tim, first of all, I'd like to add, I also consider you a dear friend. I've had a chance to watch plenty of races with you. So you say you got to know Dan Walden pretty well. Have you been able to reach out to his wife and the rest of his family yet? Are you holding off on that a little bit? Or?
No, I have not. I probably leave that in the IRL chaplain's hands, him and his associates. But I did leave an email and a text message for them and told them if there was anything at all that I could assist them in, to feel free to give me a call. And they were definitely in our prayers. And we have not had an opportunity to talk to Susie. But if that happens down the road, you know, we would definitely be willing to assist. But Bob Hills and the IRL ministry definitely knows how to get in touch with me.
Now, How does a person in your position as a chaplain, obviously one would think that it's a lot like being a pastor, but in a lot of ways very, very different. How do you, because this is obviously has happened before, not necessarily to this extent or tragedy, but you're a Silver Crown chaplain and you work with a lot of NASCAR drivers. Obviously, you're good friends with Tony Stewart and other NASCAR drivers. What are some of the things that you say to them when you know that you're called to the hospital? Times I've been with you before, you've said the possibility of getting called to the hospital or whatever. What kind of things go on there? Is that too private to talk about? Or
yeah, we can share a little bit with you about it. What we try to do when someone is injured at the racetrack, and if they're transported to the hospital, we try our best to become a go-between the hospital staff and the family or crew. And you know, it's just the crew and of course the family are all tore up about the situation, and we try to, you know, talk with them and comfort them so that the hospital staff, the doctors and nurses, are able to do their job. And a lot of times they will keep us posted, and then we can relay to the family kind of a go-between the hospital staff and the family.
All right, Tim, if you could hold on through the break, Tom and Josh, we'll be back here in just a couple minutes here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
What matters to you matters to us. The right car or great truck with service you trust. You're treated like family in our hometown, where people come for deals for miles around.
Barry Bunker Chevrolet would like to invite you to look at the huge selection on all new and gently used vehicles on the lot. Barry Bunker Chevrolet is the home of the best service, the best selection, and you know what you're getting on the day you sign. Barry Bunker and his staff are proud to be a part of Marion, located on Wabash Avenue or southbound on Highway 15. Call 664-1275 or log on to the web at www.barrybunker.com. You can see for yourself. You will see Barry Bunker's team is ready to help you find your next vehicle. Remember Barry Bunker Chevrolet, because Chevy runs deep.
The man whose name is on the door is always on the showroom floor. Barry Bunker Chevrolet.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email.
Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
George on WBAT, we keep you informed.
This is Don Rumsfeld, and you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show.
There's sports car comes driving down the road and pulls up into the driveway, and the story does unfold. She's standing by the road of Denver, where the roses are in bloom, looking out in the Atlantic Ocean.
All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. A couple things here before we get going. Winter is rapidly approaching and time is running out to get that much-needed work done on your home. Got a leaky roof or storm damage? Call Dominion Home Builders now, 317-523-8414. Dominion Home Builders is an honest, top-notch general contractor serving Central, East Central, and North Central Indiana. Call them today, 317-523-8414. Again, that's 317-523-8414. Or you can check them out online, dhbindiana.com. Dominion Home Builders, structurally sound, distinguished, Buy excellence. And speaking of homes, I need to tell you about United Country Natalie L. Real Estate and Natalie Letterly. Whether you're looking to buy a home or sell a home, United Country Natalie L. Real Estate and Natalie Letterly needs to be involved in that conversation. Whether you call her first or you call her last, she needs to be a part of that conversation. She has the credentials. She has the experience. She has the professionalism. But most of all, what sets her apart is the enthusiasm, the passion that she has for helping you find your dream home or selling the home you already have. Give her a call, 260-358-9288. Again, 358-9288, or you can visit her on the web at lrealestate.com. I'm not talking about the letter. I'm talking like Tom. Just think Tom and Josh's favorite magazine, ELLE, realestate.com. Natalie Letterly in United Country, Natalie L. Real Estate. All right, we're back to our guest, Tim Spillman. Let me ask you this, Tim. When something tragic like this happens, being a chaplain, do tragedies like this make you more inclined to want to be a chaplain, or does it make you maybe think twice about the profession?
No, I don't believe it makes me think twice about the profession. I feel definitely that God has called me into this ministry. And, you know, it just makes it where you're a little more apprehensive and you pray, God, we just wish this didn't happen. But you know, as far as does it make you where you don't want to be a chaplain anymore? No, I don't believe so. I believe if at the time that God tells me he don't want me to be the chaplain anymore, that's when I'll step away from it. But the fact you put your faith and trust in him, that he'll guide and lead your footsteps, you just continue to take one day at a time and know that he'll work it all out.
Josh, do you have anything else for Tim?
Tim, what's the thing you're going to miss the most about Dan? I know for me it's his smile and his warm handshake. What's it going to be for you?
Just like you definitely said, Josh, he always had a smile on his face, and he always had time to be personal with each and every one. I remember a couple of times when at Indy he was talking to people, and the team almost had to say, hey, it's time to get in the race car. I mean, he was so sociable with everybody, and the smile. He was a friend, and it's going to be a loss.
Tom, you have anything else for Tim?
Well, it is just an honor to have you.
We'll forgo Tom real quick. He's having mic issues. I just saw his message. All right, Tim. Real quick, where can people find out more about your work?
It's American Racing Ministries, and my home address is 224 Rosebery Court, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46214. Or you can reach me on the Internet at tspillman@ameritech.net. And those would be the two best places to get in touch with me. And I'm one of the old guys. I don't do text message. I ain't learned how yet. But those are about the easiest ways to get in touch with me, and if someone would like to get a hold of me, we'd really appreciate it.
Anything else, Tim, that you wanted to say before we let you go here? You have about a minute if you want.
The main thing I'd like to say is I just would encourage everybody to hold the entire race fraternity in their prayers at this loss. And definitely remember Susie and the boys. You know, I know everybody will be around them right now, but a month or two down the road, please be there to encourage them when the things start to settle down a little bit. Please be there to continue to encourage them. They're going to need your assistance, and they're going to need your holding up in their prayers.
Thanks a lot, Tim, and I appreciate you joining us tonight.
Well, it's truly an honor, and hope I was able to lift somebody up along the way. And we appreciate you guys, and God bless.
Hopefully we have Tom back now. Tom? Doesn't sound like we have Tom back yet. All right, we want to thank our guest tonight. Tom, are you there?
I am here, Gary. I'm sorry. I had to get my mic back. And Gary, Tim had stopped in here at the Balance Studios here in Indianapolis, and it was just a good opportunity to have Tim here with us. He's just a good friend of the show, of the Balance, and as a lot of you know, that he's been on the show a couple times before during the summer. Talked racing, and he's been around the racing industry for a long, long time. And a lot of these guys he's known since they, as he would put it, knee high to a grasshopper.
All right, Tom, I want to thank you. I want to thank all of our guests today. And boy, we had a long list of them. Jimmy Cavanaugh, Jimmy the intern, Abby Phillip, Rich Nye, Tim Spillman, and Phil Wilson. Anything closing here in about 10, 20 seconds, Tom?
Well, I think what we're going to do is we're going to rerun here on the Balance Radio Network. I know we're going to dismiss the live portion of your show, but we're going to rerun, and I believe, Gary, it's the second hour that we're rerunning here on the Balance Radio
Network.
Correct,
with Abby Phillip and Rich Nye.
Okay, well, we're absolutely going to do that. So if you missed that interview, log on to www.thebalanceonline.com or just go to Blog Talk Radio, search The Balance, and you can find us.
All right, thanks a lot, Tom. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. And, again, our condolences go out to the Dan Weldon family, his wife, his two young boys, and a tragedy, but hopefully we'll move on from this. You've been listening to the Gary Snyder Show here on 1400 WBAT.
Your source for CBS News and the Osgood Fund.
Welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. What we're going to do now is we're going to play the second hour of the Gary Snyder Show. In case you did miss the Rich Nye interview, so we're going to go ahead and rebroadcast that second hour of the Gary Snyder Show right here on the Balance Radio Network.
...27 North Main Street in Bluffton, and they are your one stop for firearms, ammunition, and reloading supplies. Stop in and talk to their friendly staff with years of experience in hunting, the shooting sports, and military-style firearms. They carry a big selection of modern sporting firearms, handguns, and shotguns with one of the biggest inventories around at the best prices, period. They also deal in NFA items such as silencers, short-barreled rifles, and yes, you can even buy a machine gun from 21st Century Firearms. Check them out online, 21stCenturyFirearms.com, or you can shop them online at shop.21stCenturyFirearms.com. Store hours are 10 to 6 Monday through Friday. Saturdays are open from 9 to 4. Any questions, give them a call, 260-824-5530.
When you want no holds barred talk, you want the Gary Snyder Show, weekdays from 3 to 6 here on WBAT Marion.
All right, this is Scott Abbott, Murder in the City.
I get murdered in the city. Don't go revenging in my name. One person dead from such a plenty. No need to go get locked away. when I leave your arms. Things that I think of, no need to get over alone. I'm coming home.
We're back on the Gary Snyder Show here on 1400 WBAT. I want to thank our first two guests a little earlier in the show. And now, you heard the 21st Century Firearms ad. I have to tell you this because they have a huge event coming up this weekend. 21st Century Firearms will be hosting the Elite Sports Express, brought to you by Big Rock Sports. This is on Friday, October 21st. And Saturday, October 27th, at the 21st Century Firearms Store in Bluffton. The Elite Sports Express is a traveling showroom featuring the shooting sports industry's latest in firearms and accessories, optics and shooting aids, scent eliminations, knives, and much more. The Express travels with a large inventory of items, visiting independent outdoor sporting goods retailers across the United States. Elite Sports Express staff and 21st Century Firearms staff will be on hand, emphasizing firearm safety and product education. Visitors will be invited into the 75-foot-long traveling showroom to get a first-hand look at all the inventory available. And this when you see this truck, and it is just awesome. If you are thinking about buying a gun or anything hunting related, you want to get to 21st Century Firearms this Friday or Saturday in Bluffton and take advantage of the Elite Sports Express coming to Bluffton. All right. Now, this hour, later on here in just a few minutes, we'll be joined by Abby Phillips. She is the White House reporter for Politico.com. She'll be discussing everything from Occupy Wall Street to presidential debates to presidential polls to the jobs bill, as much as we can fit in as little as 15 minutes. Then at the bottom of this hour, we have Rich Nye, sports anchor, and he covers the Izod IndyCar League for WTHR Channel 13. In Indianapolis, he will be joining us to talk about the death, the tragic death of Dan Weldon yesterday in the Izod IndyCar season finale in Las Vegas. And if you've seen this wreck or haven't seen it, if you've seen it, you can obviously give us a call or give us your thoughts on that, 765-662-1400. Just a horrific accident. And so many times you see drivers walk away from these unscathed or with very little injury. And most of the drivers, this was a 15-car accident. And most drivers did walk away from this with very little or no injury. Unfortunately, and if you've seen this wreck on video, and if you were watching the ABC coverage of this race yesterday, which I was, I'm a big Izod IndyCar fan, and I was watching the race. It was just in the fifth lap, I believe, and they go to Dan Weldon's in-car camera, and you're actually traveling with him as he is making a push up the field to win the $5 million prize for starting last and then trying to win the race. And as you're riding along with him from his in-car camera, you see the smoke. You see everything starting to fly up in front. Then they cut away to a bigger picture of the track where you see this wreck starting to happen. You see Will Power get airborne. And then all of a sudden you see this car come flying in at the end. I mean, obviously it turns out to be Weldon's car. He doesn't even slow down. He hits one, caroms up into the wall, then up into the catch fence. And, you know, my reaction right away was, boy, someone is going to get killed in this one. and how prophetic those words were as I looked at my wife and said, this is not good. When they removed everyone, got everybody out of the cars, anytime you put a sheet over a car that someone was driving in, it's never a good sign. And if you have any thoughts on this, give us a call, 765-662-1400. We'll take your calls on this, and hopefully our condolences go out to Dan Weldon and his family. Someone who's been an IZOD IndyCar fan for a while, been covering it for a while. I've had the opportunity to meet and talk to Dan on several occasions, and just a nice guy, probably very fan-friendly, media-friendly, and what a great champion of the race, and unfortunate that it had to come to this. And we'll have all the coverage that you could ever want with Rich Nye, Phil B. Wilson. While he is the Colts beat writer for the Indianapolis Star, he is also a good friend of Dan Weldon. We'll have him on a little later in the show. And Tim Spillman, a chaplain, former chaplain for the IZOD IndyCar Series and current chaplain for the USAC Midget Series. We'll have him on to talk about Dan Weldon's death, what this means to the racing community and what it means to the sport of racing. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Abby Phillip from Politico.com. You're listening to The Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Listen to Good Morning Grand County all week for your chance to win tickets to Disney's Phineas and Ferb at the Memorial Coliseum in Fort Wayne on October 28th for the 4 o'clock show. Tim's giving away family 4-packs all week, so listen for your chance to win. Brought to you by Kids Craze in Marion on the corner of 8th and the Bypass behind Medicap Pharmacy. Buying and selling children's items, even maternity clothes for mom. Kids Craze. Listen for your chance to win with Tim and Good Morning Grant County or visit Ticketmaster.com.
Every year for the past 12 years, I've made a donation to the United Way of Grant County. Hello, this is Jennifer Lane Riefler, Executive Director of Cancer Services of Grant County, and I contribute to the United Way because of what United Way does for this community. We provide services to many agencies for all walks of life, for all age groups, and I believe in the United Way, and I believe in Cancer Services of Grant County and the rest of the organizations. Please give to the United Way. Thank you.
High school playoff football. It's time to see what Grant County has to offer. Is Eastbrook ready to flex its postseason muscle? Can Madison Grant, Mississinewa, or Oak Hill make a deep run? And what about the Giants?
Cost the 20, cost the 10. Thank you very much, Mr. Collins. You just went 79 yards on that touchdown.
Follow Grant County Tournament Football on 99.3 WCJC, 860 ESPN, and 1400 WBAT.
Work out anytime you want, 24/7 at Anytime Fitness next to Marsh North in Marion. We offer the very best cardio equipment with satellite TV on each piece, over 10,000 pounds of free weights, and group fitness, including Zumba. Sign up now and get an extra free month with your new membership. Work out for less than a dollar a day, plus have free access to all Anytime Fitness locations anywhere in the country. Stop in for a free 7-day pass only at Anytime Fitness next to Marsh North in Marion.
This is Graham Rahal, driver of the number 38, Service Central Chip Ganassi Racing Car, and you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show.
There's a darkness upon me that flooded in light. In the fine print that tell me what's wrong and what's right.
And we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Before we get to our next guest, Schaefer's Indiana Turf. I want to welcome them back. And they are in Fort Wayne, and they are the place to go for all of your mowing needs this fall and all of your snow removal needs this winter. Schaefer's Indiana Turf has been in business since 1929, and if you're doing the math, yeah, that's a really long time. Or if you're actually doing the math, that's over 82 years of serving Fort Wayne, Marion, Huntington, and the surrounding area. They still carry all the top brands, Ariens, Snowthrow snow blowers, Gravely and Hustler mowers. They're still one of Indiana's largest Dixie chopper dealers. And, of course, Echo chainsaws and leaf blowers. And you're going to need the leaf blower, trust me. Keep in mind, it doesn't matter where you bought it or what brand it is. Schaefer's Indiana Turf can and will fix it in their state-of-the-art service center. Call 260-489-3391. You can visit them at their store at 5202 West Washington Center Road in Fort Wayne, or visit them on the web at indianaturf.com. Of course, the best tagline ever: if you grow it, mow it, or blow it, Schaefer's can help. Now, hopefully joined on the line right now by the White House reporter for Politico.com, Abby Phillip, welcome.
Hi, great to be here today, Gary.
How are you doing?
Doing well. It's been a little bit of a busy Monday, but we're getting a lot of campaign finance data over the weekend, so there's a lot that's in there that's pretty interesting, and spent the day kind of looking through a lot of those.
Well, don't keep us waiting. What's the most interesting thing you have found so far out of some of these things?
Well, this is definitely about the money race between some of the presidential candidates out there. The president, of course, bringing in a pretty high number, about $70 million between his campaign and the Democratic National Committee. But you also have Mitt Romney right behind him, also bringing in a fair amount of money. So one of the things that these reports really demonstrated is that in the money race, there are only really a couple of players. It's Obama, Romney, and really Perry that are raking in the big bucks. Perry, as another side note, only had about half of the last quarter to raise money, and still managed to kind of edge Mitt Romney, bringing in just $1 million less than Romney did in the last quarter. So he's really distinguished himself as a formidable fundraiser.
Now, one of the, surging candidates seems to be Herman Cain right now, even taking the lead in some of the national polls. How did his campaign finance numbers turn out? And, was that expected? And do you expect more in the next reporting period, since he is, considered a top-tier candidate now?
Yeah, he did get a little bit of a boost toward the end of the quarter, bringing in a little bit more than people expected. He broke the $1 million mark, but at the same time, the numbers that we're talking about for Herman Cain don't even really compete with the next two largest and perhaps more establishment candidates, Romney and Perry. So he's certainly raising more money than people expected, but it's not, in the tens of millions of dollars that he would need to be raising in order to compete with the Obama campaign and the Democratic National Committee.
Now, did Perry see any drop-off here over the last month when basically his poll numbers have plummeted and sent him basically into third, some polls even have him in fourth place out of this huge Republican primary field?
Well, it remains to be seen what the impact of Perry's sort of drop-off in the polls will have on his fundraising. The numbers that we have currently are only going up to the end of September, and it was about the beginning of October where you started to see him faltering in the polls. But at the same time, if you look closely at Perry's filings, it's pretty clear that he has been focusing on his Texas stronghold to be raising money. He's also been focusing on very large donations. He's gotten a lot of donations from people sending in more checks bigger than $250, a lot of them coming in at the $1,000 or $2,500 or even maxing out at $5,000. And that really just demonstrates that his campaign's focus was on getting that number as big as possible. But you would also expect those same people to be some of his most diehard supporters. So in this next quarter, I think it'll be the greatest test about whether this fundraising momentum can really be sustained, even in light of the fact that his popular support among rank-and-file Republicans has been decreasing over the last few weeks.
Now, if anybody wants these debates to end, it's got to be Rick Perry, and he's got to be relieved that this is the last one coming up for a while. The debates kind of take a back seat after this one on Thursday. He's got to be relieved on that.
That's right. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that the debates have not helped him distinguish himself among the field. And so it is a concern, I think, in his camp that he needs to do something to kind of get to edge out other candidates. The other part about it is that, you know, Mitt Romney is quietly emerging as even more of a front runner than he may have been weeks ago. And part of that could be just because he hasn't been sinking. He hasn't been sort of shooting himself in the foot. And because of that, he's been able to kind of survive some of these debate performances, which have really hurt Perry, and some other sort of improprieties in his campaign or embarrassments that have also hurt other candidates. Mitt Romney is really just keeping his head above water, and that strategy seems to be paying off for him.
Now, President Obama hits I wouldn't call it the campaign trail, but it is. He's taken a bus tour through some of the states that he won last time, but maybe in peril this week. Republicans are crying foul with, you know, blah, blah, blah. We had a chance, or I did, had a chance to interview former Secretary of State George Shultz last week. And one of the questions we asked him was, you know, could Reagan make it in this environment? And, you know, has politics now compared to when Reagan was president, has it gotten more, I guess, has it gotten meaner, to be honest? And he says it was. He says it has, and he just really cannot believe the state of partisan politics these days. Is partisan politics the way it's going to be from here on out, with compromise seen as a bad word, or can these two places, these two parties, get together and get something done for this country?
Look, the closer we get to this election, the harder it's going to be for anyone in Washington to sort of put disagreements aside and work together. I mean, that's just the reality of this town. I mean, just casually, a lot of people here sort of say that nothing can really get done after, you know, after about this point in the year, because we are so close to a major political election, a major political event, that it makes those decisions much, much more difficult. And I think you mentioned that the president is on sort of the campaign trail and North Carolina this week and Virginia, and you're not off base in sort of calling it that, because those two states are really critical for him. And not only does his campaign know that, but I think you know, his Republican opponents also know that as well. You have some of these third party groups already paying for ads to oppose the president while he's in those two states. So it's clear that there's already money flowing out of the coffers on both sides of this in order to kind of fight for North Carolina, a critical swing state for the president, and Virginia as well.
Did you notice I got my shameless plug in for my George Shultz interview?
You did. Good job.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, the Republicans are sitting there, and you see them all over Fox News or whatever news channel you're watching today, saying that the president's spending taxpayer money to campaign. You know, does that hold any legs? Because I'm sure when you go back and look, every president's done it.
Look, here's the other thing. You know, when the president is traveling, he's traveling to promote his American Jobs Act. That's part of his responsibility in the office that he's holding. On the other hand, you know, he's running for re-election, and I think that, you know, the founding fathers understood that if you gave a president two terms, they would have to at some point during those two terms run for elected office again if they so chose to do that. And I think on the other hand, political activities, I think, you know, are pretty well regulated by the, you know, Federal Election Commission. And also, you know, the parties know how to do this because they've done this for quite some time. And so, you know, when the president is out there raising money, the Democratic National Committee or the Obama campaign picks up the tab for the activities associated with that. When he's, you know, out there stumping for his piece of legislation, as he's going to be doing this week, I think you can safely say that falls under his presidential duties, even though his presence in the state by default may benefit him when it comes to his reelection efforts.
All right. I'd be remiss if I did not ask you about this article on Politico.com today, The title of the article, Obama Bubba Ticket Could Be a Winner, by Paul Goodman and Mark Rozelle. Was that just a tongue-in-cheek article, or is there some validity to it? And is the world ready, really, for a Bill Clinton and Barack Obama ticket?
I have to say that can't be anything other than tongue-in-cheek. I think Bill Clinton really likes the job he's got, and as far as we can tell, the president likes the job that Vice President Joe Biden has been doing. If you remember, not too long ago, there was some chatter of Joe Biden for 2016, so you really never know what could happen in politics, but it seems that the ticket, as we know, they've already printed the bumper stickers, so unless they decide to undo that, I think we're going to be sticking with the presidential ticket that everyone's been familiar with.
You know, one of the interesting things in that article is that they kind of go through a back-end loophole where Bill Clinton could actually become president again, running as a vice president, and then if something were to happen, take over as president, because as this article points out, the Constitution says elected twice, and he would not be elected president for a third term.
Right. And that's a little, I think it's definitely very clever, and I think it's also just reflective of a little bit of Clinton nostalgia that a lot of people are experiencing, particularly Democrats in Washington. A lot of people are kind of miss him and miss, you know, Clinton economics, as they like to call it. So I think it's a lot more reflective of that than anything that could potentially happen in the near future.
All right, Abby, I know you have some things to get done. Real quick, where can people find your work?
Over at politico.com.
Hey, Abby, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Abby Phillip, politico.com. She is the White House reporter, and more often than not, gives us a ring from literally the basement of the White House. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Rich Nye and Tom Marquis. Rich Nye from News Channel 13 out of Indianapolis, Tom Marquis from The Balance, and this show. You've been listening to The Gary Snyder Show here on 1400 WBAT.
Every day, there are thousands of news types out there spouting off just to hear themselves talk. Or should I call them news hypes? Avoid the talk show drama queen by listening to Good Morning Grant County and The Gary Snyder Show weekdays on WBAT. Our focus is others, the people we interview, and you, with your highly valued opinions. The Gary Snyder Show, 3 to 6 p.m. and Good Morning Grant County, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on 1400 WBAT. We keep you informed.
Behind every future Indiana doctor, astronaut, and engineer is an inspiring teacher. The Woodrow Wilson Indiana Teaching Fellowship offers $30,000 for you to complete a master's degree and teach in a high-need urban or rural school. Indiana students need you. Change your world by changing theirs. Teach. Learn more online at woodrowindiana.org. woodrowindiana.org.
You have me, the radio guy. You have David Pennicuff, the newspaper guy from the Chronicle Tribune. Then you have Ed Breen, the newspaper guy who has become a radio guy. Throw us all into a room at the same time with three microphones, and what do you get? Well, either this or CT Talks. Join us and call us the third Friday of each month for CT Talks on 1400 WBAT. Ed Breen, David Pennicuff, and me, Tim George. On WBAT, we keep you informed.
Bringing local news to Fairmount, Upland, and all of Grant County, we are 1400 WBAT.
From the 1400 WBAT newsroom, I'm Weston Lee. Over the weekend, an off-site backup tape that stores all Community Foundation digital files was stolen. Files on the server contain personal information, including names, addresses, and potential checking account numbers. However, none of that information was paired with a Social Security number, driver's license number, state ID card number, credit card, or financial account number in combination with a security code, password, or access code that would permit access to the account. The Marion Police Department has taken a report, and the theft is currently under investigation.
Community Foundation officials say they don't think the theft will lead to any personal information being compromised, but are warning people to take extra precautions to prevent identity theft. And the Marion Transportation Department will implement a new state-mandated policy dealing with drivers being physically fit for duty. City Transportation Director John Lawson told the City Board of Works that the policy will require an annual physical for all drivers, plus making the requirements to be fit for duty more uniform for all departments across the state.
And the state of Indiana has been working some time with all of the municipalities and the different transportation systems to develop a policy and procedure for all of us to follow, so we're consistent.
Lawson says no drugs will be allowed for drivers on duty, not even over-the-counter medications that might affect their driving abilities. Once the new policy is reviewed by the city attorney, it will likely take effect sometime in mid-November. And Howard County officials say spending in two of the county's largest budget areas is down as much as 12% in the last 3 years, saving Howard County just over $8 million. The county's general fund spending and in the county jail and juvenile justice system were all down in 2008, 2009, and 2010. From the 1400 WBAT Newsroom, I'm Weston Lee. The 1400 WBAT forecast for the rest of today, mostly sunny, breezy, and cool, highs around 60. Tonight, increasing cloudiness with a chance of showers after midnight, lows around 43. And tomorrow, much cooler with rain likely throughout the day, highs around 52 degrees. You're listening to 1400 WBAT, your connection for sports, news, and information.
Hey, guys. This is Tony Kanaan, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show, the best in town.
We are back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Before we get to our guest, Rich Nye from WTHR Channel 13 and co-host Tom Marquis, I need to tell you about Freightco. They are a leading freight company in Northeast Indiana, and they are growing, and they want you. That's right. Freightco is looking for owner-operators who want miles and home time. If this sounds like you, then listen up. Freightco offers a 92-cent CPM, plus a competitive FSC, and that's on all dispatches. Now, I don't know what CPM and FSC mean, but if you're an owner-operator, I bet you do. Plus, it's got to be important. They put it in their ad. Freightco drivers average 2,500-plus miles a week and are home on weekends. Freightco offers consistent lanes with many being drop and hook. So if you're looking for a company that puts customers and employees first, or you just want more information on what Freightco has to offer, give Ray a call. You better hurry up. He goes home at 5 to eat dinner. 866-397-2581. You can visit them on the web at freightco.org. Freightco, they are a freight moving company. If you can't remember all that, all you really need to remember is GaryLSnyder.com. Visit it. Over 10,000 of you a month do. And find the Freightco ad, click on it, takes you right there, and you can find out probably more than you ever cared to know about Freightco. All right, we are now joined by our co-host from 4:30 to 6. That's Tom Marquis. He's also host of The Balance. And we are also joined by sports anchor. He covers the IDOT IndyCar League for WTHR Channel 13, Rich Nye. Welcome, both of you.
Thanks, Gary.
Good afternoon.
All right, and Rich, are you there too?
I'm there as well, yes, go ahead.
All right, Rich, obviously just a horrific accident, a tragedy of, you know, epic proportions yesterday. Kind of walk us through what happened and the reaction of the drivers when they found out.
Well, I wasn't there in Las Vegas, so I can't speak firsthand, but a lot of race fans, I have seen the video replays numerous times and have heard the reaction from many drivers since and been around spots from the racing community. And what you had was a lot of cars, 34, more than you see on any race all year, including the Indy 500, on a mile-and-a-half oval, which is not a small track. That's still a very good-sized track, going 220 miles an hour in large packs. And so it could and potentially was a very dangerous situation, not something that these drivers aren't accustomed to, but there was the potential for a big accident because of so many cars going so fast on a smaller track compared to Indianapolis, let's say, or a super speedway like Daytona or Talladega, which is 2.5 miles. And obviously Weldon was in the back of the pack at that point. As many people know, he had started last in this promotion where if he could race from last to first, he would win a $5 million bonus. He had moved up about a third of the way through the pack, and there was trouble ahead. And car got sideways, there was contact. That started one accident, which started another accident. And by the time Weldon got to the pack, there were several cars involved in accidents. At least two or three cars had already flown through the air and been on fire. And then Weldon was sort of the end of that and the worst of that. He came up on the back of Paul Tracy, got airborne. The car appeared to turn sideways in the air, and so the cockpit or the open cockpit portion of the car appeared to get into the wall and catch fence, and that is probably what caused the most injury, unfortunately, to Dan and ultimately cost him his life. The reaction has obviously been great grief in the racing community, and while everyone knows there's great danger in the sport, you certainly don't expect drivers to lose their lives, and that's unfortunately what happened on Sunday.
Tom?
Well, Rich, first of all, I really want to thank you so much for joining us. I know it's a rough time for everybody, especially here in the local media community in Indianapolis, and especially for you and Dave as well, as I know you guys had some very special friendships with the drivers, to include Dan Weldon. My question, I guess, would be, obviously, I've met and talked with Dana many times, and just a class act, always respected the media, loved his fans, loved the racing, and a true ambassador of the race. He was racing in a chassis or a car. Maybe you can explain more of the technical difficulties, not difficulties, but technical aspects of the vehicle. This was the last race for that chassis. And they right. have a brand new chassis next year. And a big reason they went with that new chassis was safety, and a lot of criticism given to IndyCar on the just the, I guess, dodging the bullet, per se, a bullet that was bound to happen. And they just find it an irony, if you will, that such a quality high ambassador of the sport drove in the last race for that chassis that was changed to save lives. Do you have any comments on that at all?
Well, I think it's also very interesting that Weldon is the only driver, to my knowledge, who was given that new chassis. He was the test driver for the new car for next year, and because he did not have a full-time ride, his team and he as the driver had been selected to be the test driver for the new chassis, which has been on the track only since August and has gone through a road course test and a super speedway test at Indianapolis. But Weldon is the only guy who has driven that new car. And while there are certainly engineers and other team members that have a lot of the data recorded on what's been done with that new car. The IndyCar Series also lost the only driver who had intellectual knowledge of that new car and what it was like to drive it. So he was right there developing all of the new features on this chassis that don't know but may have been able to prevent an accident like yesterday from this standpoint. What got Dan airborne was the fact that he ran up on the back of another car and made contact with the open wheel of Paul Tracy's car. And often when the open wheels touch, that's when the most danger is present for a car to get airborne. And in most cases, if an Indy car gets airborne, it's because it has touched wheels with another car. Often when a front wheel interlocks or makes contact with the back wheel of another car. And that's most, as you look at the replay, that appears to be what happened with Dan Weldon yesterday. Now, would that have not happened in the new car? I can't guarantee that, but it was probably certainly less likely because the new car next year, while the front was still an open-wheel car by definition, especially in the rear of the car, the back wheels are going to be covered on both sides, if you will. You can still see the top of the wheel, and it's open, but a front wheel from a trailing car will not be able to make contact directly with the rear wheel of a car in front, if that makes sense.
Now, you know, obviously Dan's death is a tragedy. You know, what does this mean for open wheel racing, the IDOT IndyCar League, the series, and what does this mean for this series when a driver dies like this? Is there going to be an immediate call for new safety measures? There's going to be a look at maybe limiting the number of cars on the track. What does this mean?
I think those are a lot of questions to be answered in the weeks to come, and obviously this was the last race of the season, so now there won't be another race until February. So the first and foremost thing is, as Tom mentioned, is that the series is moving to a new car. So the cars that were on that track Sunday, we will never see on the track again. That was their final race, regardless of what happened and the tragedy that happened yesterday. So I think there'll be a lot of questions to be answered, the ones you asked. A lot of them, I think, are already being answered in terms of improvement in safety by the fact of the new developments on this new car. But there are legitimate questions to be asked about the number of cars that were on that track yesterday. But because those cars had raced for so long and were so well known by the teams, the racing was tighter than it had ever been. Basically, every team knew everything you could know about those cars to make them go fast. And so they all went very fast. And from the first car and the fastest car to the last car and the slowest car was a very small, small difference. The other thing that's going to happen next year is you've got three engine manufacturers in the game with Lotus, Chevy, and Honda. And so to think that all those manufacturers will be on the same page competitively next year is probably unlikely. You would think Honda being in the game right now will be ahead of Chevy and Lotus, but there's no guarantee of that. But what I'm trying to get at is there will probably be a competitive gap next year that is much greater than the one that exists now. And so the ability of those cars to race that tightly together and to be that close lap after lap with quite honestly what makes the IndyCar series great and what fans love about it is the tight, close racing, especially on ovals. But that's probably going to go away, at least for a little while, while the competitive threesome there work themselves out and try to, you know, see who's fastest. So I think there'll be a little more separation in the field next year from that standpoint on all tracks. So that's another factor coming in next year. But there's certainly a lot of questions to be asked and to be considered. For the IndyCar series, I think beyond the tragedy to Dan and his family and the great loss of a human life and a great person, that's first and foremost, no question. But there's also it's a big hit to IndyCar. You lost your reigning champion at the Indianapolis 500, a guy who was immensely popular, who was going to come back next year, by all accounts, to drive the GoDaddy car for Andretti Green that Danica Patrick is leaving open as she goes to NASCAR. It was the party end-of-race event of the year in Las Vegas, and the party was obviously ruined. And the celebration that was to be today for the end of the season has been canceled. And I read today from Bob Kravitz in the Indianapolis Star, I thought he just put it so well, is that IndyCar racing just can't seem to get a break. I think it's the best racing that I see anywhere in the world in terms of excitement and competitive action, and yet they just can't seem to catch a break. And the one time when they were again on a big stage, this happens and gives the series another unfortunate, tragic black eye.
Tom?
I guess, there's a lot of reflections that have to be done, and I wanted to make sure that we took a few minutes to just remember Dan for the class act person that he was. And, you know, I have a lot of fond memories of getting to know Dan and getting to interview him. And one great thing about him is he would a lot of drivers, will say, oh, not now, catch me later, da-da-da-da-da, talk to my PR person, whatever. Dan was always, if he could at all, would oblige you in any type of interview that you wanted, and give you as much time that you wanted. And one of the young drivers that I think has that same type of personality, James Hinchcliffe, which I've got to know a lot and through the Indy Lights series as well, on the national broadcast mentioned that he felt like that the first contact of the wreck was for him. I'm not asking you to get into his head, but can you just kind of talk to us with us a little bit about how this affects a young driver like James Hinchcliffe, which in the back of his mind might very well be thinking that he caused the death of Dan Welvin?
Well, from what I've seen, I would start with, it looked to me like Hinchcliffe and Wade Cunningham got together. And Wade was actually the car that was first sideways in the video that I've seen. But I don't think any driver should bear the responsibility in this accident. It was very, very tight racing. It was not even by Wade any kind of brash or irresponsible move that set off this chain of events. I think it was Hinchcliffe and Cunningham that made the first contact, and Cunningham is certainly the first car that you see sideways and causes everyone else to try to check up and slow down, and they just couldn't, and there was no getting out of the way. I hope that he doesn't feel any responsibility, or that James doesn't feel any responsibility in that regard at all. But I think for any driver, I know Davey Hamilton, if you watched the broadcast yesterday, he was there in the moment. And Davey's an older driver who's been around a lot and has been through his own very, very difficult accident that basically could have cost him his feet and his ability to ever walk again. I mean, he's a walking miracle, and to be driving Indy cars is a miracle in and of itself. But I know that Davey was on the spot questioning his desire to race anymore after what he saw yesterday. And so I'm sure that has an impact on every driver, and they question themselves about, is this really worth it? Is this worth the risk? Do I want to be in a spot like this where, you know, I could be next? There's no guarantee that it won't happen again. And in fact, history tells us that it probably will happen again. You hope that it's a long way down the road, but the history of racing tells us that drivers will be seriously injured, and eventually another driver will be killed in an IndyCar. That just happens in IndyCar. It's a dangerous sport, and despite all the safety improvements, despite everything they do to try to improve these cars, and they have done great things. I mean, I could go down a long list of things they've done to improve these cars. Even during the life of this car that we're talking about, there have been several safety improvements. But to think that it won't happen again at some point, I think is foolish. And I think that everything should be done to make sure that it doesn't happen again. But ultimately, it probably will. It has, and it probably will again. And that's a question that a driver has to ask is, am I willing to put my life on the line to go do what I love to do? And I know I've talked for a long time, and pardon me for that, but Tom, I would like to add a few comments about Dan as well. And what you said about his availability to the public and to the media is absolutely correct. And I would echo those statements about how he had time for everybody, and he would make extra time for his public. He hated to leave a public appearance or any kind of autograph or interaction with the fans until every fan had been satisfied and gotten what they wanted from Dan in terms of a photograph or an autograph or even a short conversation. And I also loved to talk to Dan because he was such an engaging interview. He was an intelligent young man who brought perspective to the sport and had opinions and had a passion about what he was doing. He loved the Indianapolis 500 and would speak to that almost every interview. He would work that into his love for Indianapolis and his love for the Indy 500. But he was intelligent and he was engaging and a delight to talk to. I think of, you know, one thing that makes me smile about Dan is his teeth. Like a lot of Brits, he came to the United States.
Hey, watch it.
He had not had braces. And he decided 3 or 4 years ago to get those teeth fixed. And when he first did, that first season he came back, it was quite startling how bright his smile was. But he had almost, if I dare say, a cheesy smile that first year, especially when it was such a dramatic change for him. I remember one year where he had white sunglasses and white racing shoes, and it really made him stand out, and he was, you know, setting quite the fashion statement that year at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But Dan had really, I remember thinking of him as a bit of a cocky young man when he first got to Indianapolis, not someone that you didn't like to be around or, you know, that you didn't enjoy, but he had a bit of that air to him when he first arrived at Indianapolis. And then to see him this year when he was so appreciative just to have a ride in Indianapolis, and he had become a father of two sons, and how that had matured him and changed his perspective on racing and life as well. He really was one of my favorite drivers. And one more quick story if you've got time. In 2005, I entered a media contest to try to guess the winner of the Indy 500. You had to guess first and second place. And if you got it right, and I picked Dan Weldon and Vitor Mirra first and second, and so I won. I won an Indianapolis 500 Tag Heuer watch, which is worth, I think, about $1,000. I would never spend more than $50 on a watch. And so I won this watch, and I don't wear it every day, but I wear it often. And I happened to be wearing it yesterday as I was covering the Colts game in Cincinnati. And I couldn't help but think about, and I had shared that story with Dan, and I had thanked him for winning the race and winning me that watch. And so we had a connection through that watch as well. But Dan was a guy that I'm going to miss immensely. And at Channel 13, we had already begun to think, Danica Patrick has been our driver expert for the month of May for the past several years. And Dave Calabro and I had talked about, who do we want to get for next year? And we had both agreed that we wanted to get Dan Weldon. We wanted him to be our driver expert next year. And unfortunately, we're not going to have that opportunity.
Well, hey, Rich, we want to thank you for joining us today. Real quick, where can people find your work at besides Channel 13?
Well, you can always find me at WTHR.com. I also would love for folks to follow me on Twitter if they're into that. I am the Sports Guy 13 on Twitter. And you can also like my Facebook page, Rich Nye, the Sports Guy, Channel 13 WTHR. Shouldn't be too hard to find on Facebook as well. So if people would like to follow my work, I'd certainly appreciate that. And I appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
Thanks, Rich Nye, and we appreciate your time. And don't be a stranger here, my friend.
Anytime.
All right, Rich Nye from Channel 13 sharing his thoughts on Dan Weldon. Before we go to a break here, I need to let you know about Barry Bunker Chevrolet. They are your hometown Chevy dealer, and used car dealership, whether you're looking for that new Chevy or that perfect used vehicle, Barry Bunker Chevrolet has the car truck you're looking for at the price no one will beat. And when I say no one, what do I really mean? You got it, no one. With their amazing inventory and deals to move that inventory, Barry Bunker Chevrolet is your one stop for Marion, Huntington, and the surrounding area for that new Chevy or used vehicle. Now let's talk service. Keeping your GM vehicle running at its best shouldn't be complicated, and there shouldn't be any guesswork involved. Let Barry Bunker Chevrolet certified service technicians make maintenance simple for you. They're your one-stop shop for all of your maintenance and service needs. So here's what you need to do. Call 866-466-1956. You can visit them online at barrybunker.com or head on over to their store at 1307 North Wabash right here in Marion and experience the Barry Bunker Chevrolet difference. And, of course, I should not have to say this because you all know it, but here it goes anyway. The name that is on the door is always on the showroom floor, Barry Bunker Chevrolet. All right, want to thank Rich Nye for joining us. Also want to thank Abby Phillip, White House reporter from Politico.com. Next hour, we have Tim Spillman, USAC Midget Series chaplain, former IZOD IndyCar chaplain, and also Phil B. Wilson, while he writes for the Colts. He's also going to share his thoughts on Dan Weldon as he was a close friend. You're listening to the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Your source for CBS News and the Osgood Fund.